Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our Father in heaven, we give thee honor, we give thee glory, for thou art worthy of that. In every aspect, Father, of our lives, Lord, we desire to honor thee and to glorify thy name, Lord, and to confess that we have a great need of thee. Lord, we need thy presence even now as we are here together, Lord, to learn of thee and to speak of thy word. Father, we give thee thanks for this opportunity and ask thee that thou wouldst bless it as we are here together. And so, Father, our gathering together would be in vain, Lord, if thy spirit would not move us, would not teach us. And so we ask for his presence as we ask this in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. For this afternoon's reading, let's turn to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and read from chapter number 11, the first 13 verses. Luke 11. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Somewhat separate from the reading that we had this morning, this afternoon, I had in mind to look at the scripture that we read this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, last verse, a verse that touched me this week, and it was my intent to share a thought on that, and yet it was a verse that was read as part of the reading this morning, where it says that, For he, being God, made him, being Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It's a beautiful thought to think of the love that God had for each and every one of us and Jesus Christ, when he, who knew no sin, he was perfect from the very beginning, he was pure, and yet he took upon himself the ugliness of our sin that we might be made righteous, the righteousness of God in him. In Jesus Christ. This is the love that Jesus had for each and every one of us. And it's a beautiful thought to just ponder on and spend some time thinking about of that love that Jesus had for us, that in his pureness, in his in the beauty of his innocence, that he would take upon himself the ugliness of our sin, that we might, and for the sole reason that we might become the righteousness of God through him. This is the love that Jesus had for each and every one of us. Glory be to his name. Jesus, while he was here upon this earth, though he was part of the Trinity, though he was connected with the Father, though he was there from everlasting to everlasting, he speaks of himself as the Alpha and the beginning, or the Alpha and the Omega, the first, the beginning and the last. He speaks of himself as such, yet he was here upon this earth, and while he was on this earth, he was praying. He was praying with his Father. He was maintaining that connection that he had with his Father. And the Bible here says that when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. So it was a desire that the apostles had, the followers of Jesus Christ, the disciples, to know how it was that Jesus, who was part of the Trinity, who was divine in nature, what was his prayers like? And they were asking, and how is it that we pray? How is it that we can have this connection, and with what attitude or with what intent can we come to the Father as you do? And as we examine this scripture, as we go through these verses, we have to consider that really as we pray, so is our lifestyle. Our lifestyle and our prayer is really one and the same. As we desire things of God, and as we laud him in our prayers, our lifestyles should be the same. That we laud him in our lifestyle, that we give him the honor and the glory, that we are congruent with what God would do and what his Holy Spirit would have us to do. So if we skip to the last verse where Jesus is saying, your heavenly Father will give you the Holy Spirit as you ask it of him. And so as the Holy Spirit moves us, as the Holy Spirit guides us, our lifestyle follows in that with what the Holy Spirit would move us to, with what God would have us to. Even as Jesus says that he will not leave us comfortless, but he will send the Holy Spirit to us and will bring to remembrance the words of Jesus Christ and will direct us in his ways. And so as the prayer begins here, Jesus is saying, when you pray, our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven, so in earth. Does our lifestyle also reflect that? That God is to be glorified in everything. That we really want his will to be done, not our will. We want God's will to be done as we live out our lives, as we do what he would have us to do, as we pray to him, asking him of these things, our lifestyle reflects that. God is not so interested in the abilities that we have because they were given to us by him, but he's looking to see how much of a surrendered heart do we have to him. Is our life surrendered to the Lord in all aspects of it? If we're surrendered to the Lord, he can then use us. He can use us more if we're surrendered to him than if we have great abilities. Because we might hold back some of these abilities that we have if our heart is not in it. Our desires, our attitudes, everything that about ourselves has to be in alignment with what God would have. What's God's priorities? Are they our priorities? What's God's desires? Are they our desires? In the way we live, not necessarily in how we speak, in what the content exactly is, or how we verbalize our prayers. But is our lifestyle incongruent with that which what we are asking the Lord? We read in the Bible and in Psalms specifically that how merciful the God is that we serve. He is so merciful. But yet we can't lead a lifestyle that's careless and then expect his mercy then to be upon us. Our lifestyle, again, needs to be as we would pray to him. That we would live and do his will, that in all aspects of our lives, we're seeking, God needs to be glorified in this. I'm about to say something. Is God glorified in this? I'm about to do something. Is God glorified in this? Is his name lifted up? Is this his will? So our lifestyle needs to be as we pray to the Lord. And he will provide. He will do that which is good. And he will abundantly provide for us as we yield ourselves to him, as we glorify him, and as we bring our petitions and prayers to him. He speaks here in verse number 3 of give us day by day our daily bread. It's a reliance upon the Lord. It's showing that we can't do much on our own. There's really nothing that we can do on our own. We rely upon the Lord for everything. And I'm quite confident that none of us are really worried about where our next meal is coming from. We live in a time and place where that's not the most dire need that we have. But that was not so throughout all history. And so Jesus is just reminding us that in our prayers that we come to the Lord and we make our supplication to the Lord that we would have our dependence upon him. And he will provide for us. He will provide for us abundantly. And so we want to bring our petitions to him, that he would be the one that would be our supplier, that we would not have a self-reliance or any other way, or think that the systems that are in place are sufficient, but know that our reliance would be upon him. It's my understanding that in the Middle Ages, the Christian church did not support capitalism and democracy when it was first being introduced into societies. And the reason was, capitalism and democracy is something we as Americans hold very, very dear to us. We found that those systems have their place and they can work well. But the church at that time in the Middle Ages was a little apprehensive about capitalism and democracy because it would turn away the hearts of the believers from a reliance on God and would allow them could possibly turn them to have a self-reliance. And that's a dangerous place to be in, is that we would rely upon ourselves, that we would think, I got this, I can do this of my own. But no, our reliance needs to be upon the Lord each and every day, that he would give unto us our daily bread and all of our needs, as he alone can provide. And so he then continues in the prayer and says, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. To forgive us our sins. When we live a life that's congruent with the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Spirit, and we are glorifying the Lord, and we are seeking that his will would be done, and we live in the flesh, and we make mistakes, and we don't do that which is right, quite right, every moment, we can turn to the Lord and ask him for forgiveness. This is the glory of the Lord, in that he can offer forgiveness, and he does give forgiveness. And it's a beautiful thing, and as we see his mercy, and we know him to be a merciful God, that our desire is to serve him and to love him, and to be whom he would have us to be prompted by the Holy Spirit and follow in that way. And when we do, he forgives us. And he sees that we are forgiving others as well, and so he forgives us. And that brings a glory to him. It glorifies him. We think of events that have happened in the Gospels of the recordings of the miracles of Jesus Christ. And we see how there were those that were healed physically of their physical ailments, and the people glorified God. But Jesus, in that one instance of the man that had paralysis and he was brought down through the roof, And he first forgave the man his sins. And they said, oh, he's blaspheming. How could he forgive sins? And then he says, well, Jesus says, well, to prove that I forgave him his sin, I'll do the easier thing and heal him physically. And he healed him physically. And they all marveled and they glorified God. Well, it's a glory to the Lord more so that sins can be forgiven. And Jesus Christ took upon himself our sin that we might be made the righteousness in God. That's a glory to the Lord. That's a glory to the Lord. And so as Jesus here is teaching the disciples to pray, when he says, forgive us our sins, that's a glory to the Lord when our sins are forgiven. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So when we ask the Lord to give us day by day our daily bread, we see a fulfillment of that, and we feel that that's pretty well taken care of. The Lord has provided for us abundantly day by day throughout our lives. But here is a prayer and a supplication that's made in leading us not into temptation, but delivering us from evil. That's a prayer that we need to utter day by day and even throughout the day. That even if it's not possible that we come upon our knees or bow our heads, but just simply breathing that, Lord, here's a temptation. Keep me from this temptation. Deliver me from this evil. And that is a prayer that should be upon our hearts and upon our minds continuously. And we need to rely upon the promises of God, where he says that no temptation shall come upon us more than that which we are able to bear, but will with every temptation make a way of escape that we will be able to bear it. There will be a way of escape when a temptation comes our way. That's a promise of God. Our responsibility is to be looking for that way of escape as that temptation is there, and to act upon that way of escape when the temptation is there. And he will deliver us from evil because he is a faithful God, and because he loves us, and because he has given unto us his Holy Spirit. So then he goes into lessons concerning prayer, and he's talking here about how it is that we can ask of the Lord. There's no symbolism here. There's nothing difficult to understand. This is readily to be understood. And so we are thankful for that as this teaching is here in place, and we can understand it, and we can give him the glory that he has given this unto us, that we can ask him and he will provide. Jesus in John's gospel says, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. These are the words of Jesus Christ. This is a promise of his, that as we come to ask of the Lord, he will fulfill. When our lifestyle is congruent with the promptings of the Holy Spirit, he will fulfill these things in our lives as we ask them of him. When we ask him to spare us from temptation and to give us the ability to overcome, he will provide that. I will do it, says Jesus. Let's remember that. Jesus says, I will do it when we ask of him, and that the Father may be glorified in the Son. God is glorified that as we turn to him and say, Lord, this temptation is bigger than me. Help me through this. Keep me from this evil. He will provide. And then he gets the glory. He gets the glory. And so he speaks here in these next few verses of asking of the Lord. And so he tells them, and it's a very effective teaching method that Jesus had, is teaching by stories that we can understand and know the teaching better. So he says, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come unto me, and I have nothing to set before him. It's not a good time for someone to come to someone else's house in the middle of the night. And so the response naturally would be, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and I and my children are with me in bed, and I cannot arise and give thee. That would be a natural response. The connection is there. There's a friendship there. There's a relationship that's already built there. But it's just simply not convenient. It's not a good time to be coming at midnight. And Jesus says, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, that wouldn't be a reason enough. That relationship, it wouldn't be reason enough. It would be okay for the friend to tell the friend, hey, come back in the morning. I'll help you out in the morning, but not now. He says, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. Because this friend has come to the house at midnight and he's really asking, hey, I need some help here. Help me out here. Provide for me in this case for now. Because he is coming and because he is being persistent and in his persistence, it is that where the friend that's inside the house will give him as many loaves as he needs. Because he was persistent. And so Jesus here is teaching, as he teaches in Luke 18 as well, to be persistent in our asking. And the Lord will provide. So he says here, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. This is the Lord. This is the Lord. We would not be a bother to the Lord, as this friend was when he came to knock on the door of his friend's house in the middle of the night. We will never be a bother to the Lord as we come to him. He is always willing and ready to hear us as we come before him. At any moment, at any time, we can come to him and we can ask of him. And he will provide. This is the God that we serve. And this is what he's teaching here. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. The Lord gives. And he is faithful. But the God that we serve gives in verity, and he creates in verity, and what he has given each and every one of us is what he intended to give each and every one of us. And that's in everything, in our abilities, in our opportunities, in our possessions, in everything that we have. God has given unto us what he would have us to have, and he makes no mistakes. To some he gives more, to some he gives less. To some he gives some gifts, and to some he gives other gifts. But we need to remember that whatever it is that we have, God has given it to us, and we are to thank him for that. And so he speaks here, and he's teaching his disciples, continuing to teach them, saying, if a son shall ask of you, of any of you that is a father, or ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? God has placed within us to love our children. God has placed within us to provide for our children. And we have a Father who loves us, and even in a greater love than what a parent could love a child. God loves us, and he provides for us. He, as again, going back to that verse that we read this morning, God provided his son who knew no sin, who was pure, who was innocent, to become sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God wants us to be with him. And it cost him the offering of his son, the sacrifice of his son. That's how much God loves us. And he cares for us. And so we, in our failings, can get things wrong. And as he says here, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Jesus here is teaching that our heavenly Father loves us, and he loves us so much that he not only sent his only begotten Son to die for us, but that he also then sent his Holy Spirit. And we have to marvel at that, that he would send his Holy Spirit into us, that good and Holy Spirit would direct us, would move us, would allow the temple of our body to be his dwelling place. We have to marvel at that, and we have to give him glory. And so again, our lifestyle needs to be directed by the promptings of the Holy Spirit. So in everything that we say, everything that we do, all of our aspirations, our attitude, our desires, our priorities in life have to be prompted by the Holy Spirit. And then our prayers will be full, and our prayers will be heard, and the Lord will provide for us, and he will give unto us everything that we have need of. We are a blessed people. We have been taught by the Master on how to pray. We have been given the Holy Spirit. We have been given direction. We have been provided for all things that we have need of in this life. He has given unto us rich gifts. Even of the greatest being, his Holy Spirit that would dwell within us. He will provide for all things. So whatever it is that we have need of, let's turn to the Lord and ask him. And let's be persistent in our prayers, that we would not give up, but that we would continuously pray to him, that he would provide for us, that we might be overcoming, and that we might glorify him upon this earth, and that we would live for him, and that whatever priority of that is God's, that would be our priority. Whatever his desires would be, that would be our desires. The Apostle Paul summed it up beautifully in Ephesians chapter 3, where he says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen."
Jesus said that if we ask anything in his name, he will do it. He did not simply say that if we ask anything, he will do it, but no, he says, in my name. That's an important stipulation. Something that we can ask in the name of Jesus is something that is in accordance with his will, something that is consistent with his life. We can't simply ask for anything worldly, anything that does not give him glory. We will not get it. Anything that we can ask in his name, he says he will give. He is faithful and just to give us those things that we ask in his name. And as Brother John mentioned multiple times, our lifestyle has to be consistent with that for which we pray. How can we pray and ask for strength over some temptation when our life does not show any effort? When we are so quick and so willing to give in to sin, how can we bow before him in prayer with any amount of sincerity and ask for help when he sees throughout our lives a complete lack of willingness to serve him? We must have the will. If we have the will, he will provide the strength. The strength will never come from ourselves. We ourselves will never be good enough. We can't. It's not possible. But if he sees in us, if the Lord sees in us a willingness to have victory over sin, to have victory over this world, and we pray for him, we pray to him for that strength, we will get it, because that's something that we can ask honestly in his name, not something that we are seeking for ourselves. We cannot pray and ask for honor and glory and riches. That's not something that we can ask honestly in his name. And God knows that we are lacking that strength of ourselves. Even as we have sung in the fourth verse in this hymn number 235, let us come before his throne with sighing. God hears our crying. He hears the cries of his people. He hears the cries of his people who are doing their best to live a life free from sin. He will forgive us our sins only if we forgive those if we forgive those who trespass against us. Let us have humble hearts, hearts that don't seek any glory for self, hearts that are quick to forgive, hearts that are quick to serve others. If that is our attitude, that is our mind, the mind of Christ, if that is our mind, then we will receive all the strength we will ever need. That is God's promise. May God bless his word in our hearts this afternoon. Amen.